I'm Mark Jova, Fillmore Street. This is TheBealPod.com, the week in Georgia and English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 14th of January, 2016. On this date in 1639, the Fundamental Orders, the first written constitution that created a government, or so they say in Connecticut, is adopted in Connecticut. 1894, Joseph Conrad returns to London after a long career at sea, although he was actually from Poland and brought up in exile in Russia with his parents, who died when he was only 12. 1953, Tito is inaugurated as the first president of Yugoslavia. 1954, Marilyn Monroe marries Joe DiMaggio in San Francisco. 1963, George Wallace is inaugurated as governor of Alabama, promising his followers segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. His inaugural speech is written by Ku Klux Klan leader Asa Carter. And on that note, Alabama recently passed a voter ID law. Then, 2 days ago, that's 2 days ago, meaning the day before yesterday, closed all facilities that issue state IDs in majority African-American towns and neighborhoods. Every single one. 1967, the human be-in takes place in San Francisco, California's Golden Gate Park, launching the Summer of Love, now that it's January. 2014, they were a little confused. As you can see, 2004, the current national flag of Georgia is restored to official use. 2011, former president of Tunisia, Ben Ali, corrupt scuzzball, flees his country after a series of street demonstrations against his regime. Where does he go? To Saudi Arabia, where he remains in safety and security. Birthdays are Roman Mark Antony, traitor Benedict Arnold, Empress Maria Theresa, trumpeter Billy Butterfield, do-gooder Albert Schweitzer, Dallas actress and producer Bebe Daniels, the late great New Orleans icon Alan Toussaint, actress Faye Dunaway, journalist Nina Totenberg, guitarist T-Bone Burnett, and poet LL Cool J. Today in Abkhazia is Ajirini Hua, celebration of the creation of the world. 14th of January is Old New Year in Georgia, as we know, for those following Orthodox Julian calendar. New Year's Eve was last night. Lots of fireworks and bonfires. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is written by Art Swieka. If you'd like to comment on the form or ask a question, go to TheBealPod.com or send us an email at TheBealPod@gmail.com. Following up on previous stories, on the 11th of January, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze commented on the goings-on with Gazprom. He repeated that the talks focus on the terms for transiting Russian gas via to Armenia via Georgia, as well as the possibility of importing additional volumes of gas from Russia on top of what Georgia is receiving as the transit fee. He said that Gazprom is insisting on changing the current arrangement. Currently, Georgia gets, as a transit fee, 10% of the gas delivered by Russia to Armenia, but Gazprom wants to pay that transit fee in cash instead. Kaladze also reiterated that due to Georgia's increasing gas consumption, the country may need to import additional gas volumes from Russia, and that it does not mean that Georgia will reduce the volume of gas imported from Azerbaijan. Over 87% of Georgia's total gas consumption comes from Azerbaijan. Kaladze said that Georgia's gas consumption increased by 19% in 2015 year-on-year to 2.6 billion cubic meters, and that Georgia will need additional volumes of gas to fill gaps amidst this increasing gas consumption. Kaladze said that previously that it's not possible to get additional gas from Azerbaijan because of technical reasons, especially during the winter period when gas consumption peaks in Georgia. Kaladze has been criticized heavily by the opposition for meeting with Gazprom Chief Executive Alexei Miller over the last few months. The national movement accused Kaladze of holding covert talks with Gazprom, and that they said they will launch street protest rallies if the authorities refuse to make public the details of the talks. UNM has also asked Energy Minister Kaladze to appear in Parliament to brief them about the goings-on. Then, yesterday on the 13th of January, President of Azerbaijan State Energy Company Sokar, Rovna Gabudliev, came to Tbilisi with talks with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and Energy Minister Kaladze. As a note, Georgia receives gas from two sources in Azerbaijan. 2015, about 720 million cubic meters of Azerbaijani gas came as part of the deal with the BP-operated South Caucasus pipeline, which transports gas from the Shah Deniz offshore field in the Caspian Sea to Turkey via Georgia, while 1.3 5 billion meters were imported as part of a separate contract with SOCAR, according to data provided by the state-owned Georgian Gas Transportation Company. Kaladze confirmed after the meeting with the SOCAR head that they discussed Georgia's consuming more gas and that it's technically impossible to receive more from Azerbaijan, and that Georgia's been filling the gap with Gazprom for years. He further said that the SOCAR pipelines are working at full capacity, but they are planning to implement a project which will allow them to increase capacity. He said that additional investment will be required specifically for a gas compressor station in order to increase the volume of gas supply. Kaladze added that it will not be possible to complete these works this year, indicating that Georgia will need to increase its supplies from Gazprom to offset the deficit. In separate remarks, Kaladze said that the deficit that Georgia will have to fill may reach 300 to 400 million cubic meters 2016. After the talks with SOCAR leadership, Kaladze also stressed that the completion of the second phase of the Shahpanis project is expected in 2019 and will help Georgia fill the existing gap in supplies. Both Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and Energy Minister Kaladze were saying how Azerbaijan is a strategic partner, is very important for Georgia. Kvitikashvili was saying that they won't allow technical problems to be an issue in their developing relations. Chief Executive of SOCAR in Georgia, Mahir Mamadov, said after the meeting that they discussed the technical capacity of gas supplies, possibility of filling the deficit by increasing gas supplies through the Shahpanis BP pipeline, because SOCAR is a commercial partner of the pipeline. He also said that SOCAR was interested in participating in Georgia's project to build a gas compressor station that would allow it to increase the volume of gas supplies. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 8th of January, President Mark Velashvili signed into law the Georgian Dream proposed bill redrawing the district boundaries of single-mandate constituencies. As a reminder, Georgia has a mixed electoral system, or actually a mixed chamber, in which 73 lawmakers in the 150-seat parliament are single-member majoritarian constituencies. Remaining 77 are on proportional party list systems of those that pass a 5% threshold. Opposition parties, civil society organizations, election monitoring groups, and everybody else have asked for the current majoritarian component of single-member constituencies to be scrapped because it's so easy to be controlled and bought up by incumbents. For the last 2016, for the fall 2016 elections, but that would require allegedly a constitutional amendment. I don't think it would, but some say it would. But the government is not going for that. Prime Minister Mark Velashvili also backed the proposal. The ruling coalition has agreed to carry that out only for the 2020 election, but those who want it for this one have not really given up, so it might not pass at all, which would be too bad. This bill, it was nice, now signed into law, keeps the single-member majoritarian component of the electoral system, but addresses the big disparity in sizes of the single-mandate constituencies. It significantly narrows the discrepancy within sort of European standards, splits the large ones. I'm trying to get a map to take a look at where the constituency boundaries are, but I haven't seen that yet. There doesn't seem to be anything in English yet. Ruling from the May 2015 Constitutional Court says that the problems with the electoral districting undermine the equality of the vote. When President Mark Velashvili now signed the changes, he says that they fall short of much-needed broader reforms to the electoral system, that these amendments stem from the requirements set by the Constitutional Court, and also there are technical amendments. They're not actually a reform. And he again advocates a full switch to the proportional system for the 2016 rather than waiting 4 years for the 2020 election and urge relevant stakeholders to seriously discuss it again. He was not saying full switch to proportional, but to multi-member constituencies, as far as I know. On the 12th of January, the National Bank sold $20 million foreign currency auction to support the lari, which seems to be happening more. It was the central bank's first intervention this year, 2016, the second one in less than 3 weeks. National Bank sold close to $287 million, 9 interventions in 2015. Fruitlessly, the lari was trading at about 2.415 to 2.42 per U.S. dollar on the 12th of January. As a reminder, December 2015, the IMF mission said that it strongly supports the National Bank's policy to allow the lari to float and to limit foreign exchange interventions, but it's an election year. World Group's annual report on global economic perspectives. They forecast that Georgia's economic growth will hit 3% in 2016, 4.5% in 2017, 5% in 2018. Whatever that, you know, as if anybody can have any idea what will happen then. Both Bloomberg and the global rating agency Moody's forecast Georgia's economy will grow at 3% in 2016. Following up on last week's story, on the 8th of January, Dato Zalikiani was appointed as first deputy foreign minister 14 months after he stepped down from the same post. As a reminder, he was a member of the Free Democrats Party, was a first deputy foreign minister from October 2012, but then resigned in November 2014 when the Free Democrats quit the Georgian Dream ruling coalition. On the 8th of January, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili appointed Zviad Gonadze as deputy foreign minister. Gonadze has served as the head of the State Service Bureau since late 2012. On the 14th of January, this morning, Interior Minister Georgi Mrevdishvili appointed three new deputy ministers. Besik Amidanishvili as first deputy interior minister. He was previously chief of police of Ajada. And the other deputies are David Vardiashvili, who will be overseeing finances and logistics, Mayor Malania, who previously served as the head of the Special Task Department of the Interior Ministry. Interior Minister Gebreshvili said the ministry's goal is to have more efficient results in the fight against crime. Makes sense. These appointments come after two Interior Ministry deputies, David Hutsashvili and Temur Mrebishvili, resigned earlier this week. On the 12th of January, the deputy mayor of Tbilisi, Georgi Solomonia, quit his post. He was deputy mayor since August 2014. He'll work in the investigation service of the finance ministry. Could be the interior minister will resign soon. You heard it here first on Tvilpod.com. Defense Minister Tineke Khidasheli is in Afghanistan this week. She met with soldiers in Kabul and NATO Resolute Support Mission headquarters and with the deputy commander of the mission. Following up on last week's stories, authorities in Abkhazia are compiling a list of restrictions covering economic and trade ties with Turkey as part of Suhumi's move to join Russia's sanctions against Ankara. The Abkhaz prime minister signed a decree on the 11th of January. The various ministries have until the 20th of January to propose a list of specific measures ranging from strengthening control over Turkish nonprofit entities operating in Abkhazia to banning the import of some products from Turkey. The decree already bans hiring Turkish companies or other entities controlled by Turkish citizens for implementing infrastructure projects being carried out in Abkhazia with Russian aid funds. The decree says that the move is true to the Treaty on Alliance and Strategic Partnership between Russia and Abkhazia signed in 2014 that the Kremlin coerced Abkhazia to sign, which envisions carrying out a coordinated foreign policy. The decision comes 2 weeks after the Russian president's aide, Vladimir Surkov, visited Suhumi. To press the Abkhaz authorities for coordinated actions amid Turkey-Russian tensions following the downing of Russian fighter jet by Turkey in November. Echo Kavkazia reports that some members of Abkhazia's parliament expressed concern over the government's intention to impose restrictive measures, arguing it would affect the businesses of ethnic Abkhaz, who are Turkish citizens and part of the Abkhaz diaspora, saying that it was a hasty decision. So the subtext of what's going on here, as the Kremlin increases making Abkhazia a colony of Russia, particularly relating to property rights and Russians being able to own property, now that there are more Armenians in Abkhazia than Abkhaz, the ethnic Abkhaz very much want to have relations with Turkey because that's the only way that they can sort of assert their independence, with the Kremlin and everyone else leaning in the other way and everybody seeing what has happened to the Abkhaz leadership and many people wanting to sort of please the Russian overlords in a matter like this. Abkhazia has very close relations with Turkey and wants closer relations, but this downing of the jet and now the argument between Erdogan and Putin has changed things a little bit. The investigation into the case brought up by the former pardons commissioner is continuing. He alleged that he had been pressed by political high-ups to get certain prisoners pardoned, and money was involved. There's some public back and forth between the former heads of the Pardon Commission, Aliko Elisashvili, and the new chief prosecutor, Irakli Shotadze. Three journalists with Tablo magazine were attacked at a restaurant in Tbilisi in the evening of the 12th of January. One of the journalists explained that they were attacked because of Taboola's immoral attitude towards the church. People were saying the attackers were yelling orthodoxy. The journalists were slightly injured. Tables were thrown around and broken. One of the journalists was Levon Sutidze, who hosts a talk show on Taboola TV called Talks About Religion. Defense Minister Chidashelli visited the Pankisi Gorge. She met with youth in Pankisi and presented them an offer to join the Georgian Army on contract-based military service. The defense ministry is offering a four-year contract with a starting salary of 955 lari a month, which would increase according to rank, position, and military experience, with free medical service, so on. Chidashelli also explained that Muslim youth who choose to join also wouldn't have problems in terms of praying, religious diet, celebrating religious holidays. Chidashelli was accompanied by the State Minister of European and Euro-Atlantic Integration, Deputy Education Minister, Deputy Sports Minister, and officials from the Culture Ministry. They listened to the Pankisi residents and also offered that the government would fund citizen initiatives and projects. The Defense Minister said they will also send more Georgian and English language teachers to Pankisi, Gorge, as well as teachers that will help youth prepare for the national exams and enroll in the National Defense Academy. She said she would visit again in February to follow up on the plans. Been a lot of visits, a lot of promises. Let's see whether that follow-up happens. Following up on Azerbaijan, people were protesting in a number of towns throughout Azerbaijan. The national currency, the manat, has lost 40% of its value against the U.S. dollar recently and precipitously. The people there, like in Georgia, hold mortgages and debts in foreign currencies. People are protesting against unemployment, price hikes, corruption, and nepotism. Security forces were deployed. People were arrested. According to French media outlet France 24, France will shorten visa delivery time for tourists with Georgian, Armenian, Turkish, Vietnamese, and Indonesian citizenship down to 48 hours. Chinese tourists will be able to get visas in 24 hours. On the 11th of January, the State Security Service arrested three people in Tbilisi for planning to sell radioactive substances. They had $100,000 worth of cesium-137, which is a byproduct of nuclear reactors and is used for various medical and industrial purposes. There is yet no information on who was the potential buyer. U.S. space agency NASA is helping the National Wine Agency in Georgia to research, to determine if Georgia is the birthplace of wine. Penn State University, the University of Montpellier, and the University of Milan are also involved in the research project. NASA will publish the research results when it's finished. It should come out 2016. The Georgian government started working on the project in January 2014. The Ritz Hotel in London is celebrating its 110th anniversary. They've added 150 new wines to their wine list. This includes five orange wines, one of which is the 2007 Iago Bitarishvili Chinuri from Georgia. It's available by the glass. The Ritz sommelier explained the choice, saying that in Georgia there are some producers that do international grapes, but Chinuri is only from there. The technology park opened in Tbilisi near Tatsminda Park. Its official name is the High Technology and Innovation Development Center. The idea was proposed by former Prime Minister Irakli Kharibashvili. It was carried out by the Innovation and Technology Agency of the Ministry of Economy. It's a facility that's supposed to promote research and innovation involving technology. It will provide resources for startups and small-sized companies. It has small incubator rooms. That's funny. Educational centers and laboratories, large offices for companies, co-working spaces, conference rooms, recreational areas, and more. I am very interested in this. All right. I would ask some listener to go in there with a phone and video it, put that up on YouTube, and send us the link, and we'll give you fabulous prizes. Because I'm pessimistic. I'm really glad that the government is supporting entrepreneurship and innovation and technology, but I'm not sure if that's really that possible, not just in Georgia, but anywhere. Two men were arrested in Istanbul for trying to sell a Van Dyck painting. It was brought in from Georgia via Russia. It was originally obtained from a Georgian family. They told Rustaviori that they said they bought the painting over 10 years ago somewhere in Vake, didn't know it was a Van Dyck, but then had to sell it when the son of the family was arrested and they needed money for his plea bargain. The person they sold it to then brought it to Turkey, left it at a friend's place, and it was then stolen again. Chief prosecutor of South Ossetia, Madab Chigoev, was killed after he was struck by a car while crossing a street in Sken Valley. There was reports that the driver of the car fled the scene. Then there were reports that was not true. Then he was detained at the scene. Law enforcement agencies appear to be approaching it as an accident. A group of about 10 Iraqi students protested in Kutaisi earlier this week because their residency permits were revoked by the Ministry of Justice. They appealed to the university, the Akaki Tsereteli State University, to help them. They said they received notices in late December that their permits were revoked. They were not told why in detail, except they were told it was that they were considered a danger in Georgia. On the 15th of January, Ukraine is launching a new transit route to reach China that will bypass Russia. Goods will cross the Black Sea, go by train through Georgia and Azerbaijan, and then cross the Caspian Sea to Kazakhstan and China. University of Tartu in Estonia is offering Georgian language courses as of February through their College of Foreign Languages and Culture. The courses are reportedly free for the students of the university, for visiting students from other Estonian higher education institutions. Radisson will open a three-star hotel in Tbilisi. It will be a Park Inn construction that will start this year and will open in 2017. They're spending $25 million to build it. It will be near the old Parliament building in Tbilisi, taking over the Tori Hotel and turning it into a Radisson. Georgian construction firm Block Invest will develop it. The Millennium Hotel on Rustaveli, the giant glass building being built by Dahabi Group, is expected to open in July 2016. There were more road restrictions this week throughout the country because of snowstorms and the threat of avalanches. There were restrictions on the road past Gudauri, leading to the Russian border, on the Zestaponi-Mestia Road, and on the Tribuli Road leading to Racha. Health Minister Dato Serganenko says they plan to introduce stricter control both on imported and local medicines. They will have higher quality control testing for medicines in foreign than in foreign labs. The state-owned holding company Partnership Fund is also working with Austrian company Alpha Medic Consortium and the Ministry of Health to develop and improve state medical clinics. Alpha Medic Consortium won the tender to develop the project. Anything Austrian, I automatically assume to be a shell company for Ukrainians. And nothing wrong with Ukrainian investment. Following up on last week's story, the three hunters that got lost in Lago Dehi area because of heavy snow in late December were found this week in Dagestan after they were missing for about 10 days. They were detained for illegally crossing the border. Georgia is having arranging to have them sent back. On the 13th of January, the Tbilisi TV tower was lit up in the colors of the Lithuanian flag to commemorate the 25 years since the January events when the 1991 protesters formed a human shield to protect a radio station in Vilnius from Soviet tanks, and over a dozen people were killed. A 12-year-old girl was killed in a skiing accident in Gudauri over the weekend after a man lost control while skiing and crashed into her. The Interior Ministry has launched an investigation about the death caused by negligence. Case has people talking about safety on ski slopes, was the guy drunk, and so on. European Aviation Safety Agency will help Eastern Partnership countries, including Georgia, to develop their civil aviation industries in line with European standards. It's a 5 million Euro technical cooperation project funded by the European Union. The deal will be implemented over a four-year period starting in February. USAID is investing $5 million in Georgia over the next 5 years to support increased inclusion and integration of targeted populations, including people with disabilities, women, youth, ethnic minorities, and disadvantaged groups. No idea what that means in practice. Local glass manufacturer Mina will export 25 million glass bottles to Italy. With the Ministry of Economy, they signed an agreement with Italian clean water company Societeta di Santa Adalba. Tbilisi City Hall is preparing a new bill that will oblige developers to construct buildings with parking spaces for all tenants of the building. Fencer Sandro Bazadze won the Fencing World Cup competition in Istanbul, which is run by the International Fencing Federation. Zaza Urushadze's film Tangerines was nominated for Best European Film at the Gaudi Awards in Spain. The winner will be announced on the 31st of January. The family of late private first class Vasil Cool Janishvili, who was killed in September while serving in the NATO-led Resolute Support Mission in Afghanistan, received the Bronze Star from President Obama for their son's exemplary service. They were given the award via Defense Minister Tina Kohidashvili. Ministry of Defense gave flats to the families of 10 Georgian soldiers, 8 of whom were killed during the recent military trainings and studies, and 2 of whom were seriously injured. The flats are in the military settlement in Varkatili. 32-year-old racing driver David Kajaya was promoted to compete at a higher level with Team Engstellar, which he was competing for this year. The promotion comes after he won the 2015 European Touring Cup TC2T Class Championship title. The Tribeca Performing Arts Center in Manhattan hosted a performance by the Tbilisi-based Vaso Abashidze Music and Drama State Theater Company. It was called Introspection, the story about us, and is a story of Georgia. Public Registry is now accessible on a mobile app for Android. You can get it on Google Play. Parliamentary news. Parliament's on break. Spring session opens on the 2nd of February. President Mark Vilashvili will also deliver an annual presidential address to Parliament in February, though the exact date has not been specified yet. Following up on previous stories, the newly created Finance Supervisory Agency, which is supposed to take over the supervision of private banks, is still not operational. The National Bank refuses to fund it. The agency has now appealed to Parliament Speaker Dato Usubashvili for Parliament to provide direct financing. As a reminder, in October, the Constitutional Court suspended the legislative amendment separating the new body from the National Bank pending a discussion of a lawsuit. It will resume in February. The meme this week is more hashtag NBA vote at Zaza Pachulia madness. People are voting to get Pachulia to the NBA All-Stars game. Currently, he's at number 8, and he needs to get into the top 3 by the 18th of January. You can vote up to 10 times a day. So whenever people post something on Facebook, they include NBA vote Zaza Pachulia. President Mark Vilashvili vote tweeted. The Ministry of Defense had a promo. Famous Georgian actors are going on TV encouraging people to vote. Sports commentary show the starters had a whole bit dedicated to the bizarreness of Pachulia leading, even more than Dirk Nowitzki, who also plays for the Dallas Mavericks. They're evidently good friends. And they were sort of accidentally insulting to everyone in Georgia. Stuff to read. Journalist Sean Walker for The Guardian reports from Istanbul on Chechen fighters hiding out in Turkey, but they are still targeted and killed by the Kremlin. There's a Georgian connection because the Chechen fighters used to cross the border into Georgia and vice versa, would get supplies, meet with people. But Georgia has stricter border controls and Chechen fighters are banned from entering via Turkey. A number have gone on since the fight in Syria. Jens Malling for Le Monde Diplomatique details the Abkhazia conflict up to the present day. Moscow Times' Andrei Michnik reviews the year in food in Moscow because of sanctions. Cheap food is back. Notably, there's a new fast food version of Georgian cuisine. There's a stand in Gorky Park called ACDC in Tbilisi that serves burgers with sulguni and tremali. And there are new Vaime cafes. The Georgian Sommelier Association selected their choice of best Georgian wines, agenda.ge listen, so you can check out if you want to know what are considered the best. New York Public Archives has digitized their collection, so it's online and free. There are previously unseen photos from Georgia by George Kenan. Just search Kenan and Tiflis. They're truly incredible. I mean, high-quality digital reproductions, a lot of them pictures of old postcards. Take a look. All this stuff to read posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 11,000. This is the total amount of outstanding parking fines Georgian diplomats have in Norway in U.S. dollars. Norwegian media tabulated all the parking fines held by foreign embassies in Oslo. The Georgian embassy is responsible for a third of all of the fines of every embassy combined. If you're in London until the 17th of January, Deptford Cinema is screening a program called White Horse Films from Georgia. They're showing Repentance, the legend of Sudan Fortress in bloom, and the documentary Songs of Georgia. There's an Indiegogo campaign you may want to check out. Some musicians in Georgia are trying to get well-known American experimental music artist Toby Driver and his musicians down at Tbilisi in March to perform. They argue the overall project is to develop the independent music scene in Tbilisi. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. Tough to decide which song to play this week. High on the list was from 1997, I'm Afraid of Americans. I'd encourage you to look it up and see the video as well. And of course, there's Heroes. But I've gone with the one with the greatest personal impact from one of the very first albums I bought with my own money and listened to countless times, turned down low, late at night, alone in the living room. From 1976, this is David Bowie and Station to Station.
In America, no tricks at the wheel. No one needs anyone, they don't even just pretend. Jonah's in America.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans.
God is an American. God is an American. God is an American.